Well, today is Palm Sunday. It's the day that Jesus entered triumphantly into Jerusalem and changed the history of mankind forever. But it is also the last Sunday of our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. So I was debating whether or not I would preach about the end of the Lord's Prayer, which is called the Doxology, or if I would preach about Palm Sunday. And I was really struggling with this, and then I realized that there's a huge overlap, because in the Lord's Prayer, there's actually two words that are repeated twice. The first one is forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The second one, there's another word that occurs in the Lord's Prayer twice. Which one? Did we have it yet? He's got it. Kingdom. Kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. The Lord's Prayer is about the kingdom. And Jesus coming into Jerusalem is about the kingdom. He's the king of a kingdom, but it is not an earthly kingdom. It's a totally different kingdom. And we should praise God that it's about a totally different kingdom, because had it been an earthly kingdom, it would have not have been the same. But since it is a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom not of this earth, but an eternal kingdom that God reigns over eternally, it is a much better kingdom, and it's a much better kingdom by three ways. And we're going to talk about those three ways this morning. Because the first one is this, from Mark 11:1, Jesus drew near to Jerusalem. And a kingdom, an earthly kingdom, has a very small sphere of influence, but a heavenly kingdom has a wide influence. And Jesus going into Jerusalem says a lot about the earthly kingdom, but it doesn't really talk about the heavenly kingdom. But Jesus came to a heavenly kingdom. We're just going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Because the people, they came and they put their palm branches and cloaks and they praised Jesus as he came in. They were expecting an earthly kingdom. Because as far as they knew, the most important place in the world was Jerusalem. That was the seat of power for everybody that was Jewish. But it wasn't really the seat of power, was it? Jerusalem was a vassal state to the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was in Rome. And everybody thought that the Roman Empire was the most powerful empire that had ever existed. And there was nothing like the Roman Empire. And if you think about all the empires that have existed in the earth, does anybody know what the most powerful and largest empire ever has been? It wasn't the Roman Empire. They actually are like number 24 on the list. Anybody know? The British Empire was the largest empire ever. If you look on Wikipedia, which is always true, the British Empire. There was a saying that said that the sun never set on the British Empire. And that's probably true. The sun never did set on. They were the largest empire, earthly empire, that ever existed. And they probably would have continued growing, except for these rascally people in the colony on the Americas decided to do what? To leave the British Empire. They didn't like the British Empire. See, the problem with the human empire is that not only do you have to go conquer new lands, but you kind of got to keep the conquered lands, right? You got to move forward to conquer, and you got to hold on to what you have. And that's an impossible task. Because any earthly empire can only go so far. They can only conquer so much before the people that are left in the wake start saying, wait a minute, we don't want to be a part of that empire. But Jesus came with a heavenly empire. His sphere of influence is not just located geographically. His sphere of influence is in the whole entire world. I wanted to show you a film clip of a guy who did an interview, and he said, yeah, people talk to me on the plane. He says, what business are you in? He says, I like to tell them that I'm part of an international corporation that has offices in every country and every city, and it has a global dominance and all this sort of thing. And basically, he's a pastor, right? And I just love that. I mean, because isn't that true? If you think about the sphere of influence of Christianity, it's worldwide. And it affects everything. And the thing is, you can't crush it. If it had been a heavenly kingdom, you could crush it. I mean, if it had been an earthly kingdom, you could get overthrown by something else. But the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus, it can't be crushed because it's not tied into building. It's not tied into place. It's tied into His people. And sometimes when the kingdom of God goes into some places that they're not even allowed to publicly worship, sometimes that's the most flourishing and wonderful part of the kingdom. Because it isn't based on a place and it's not based upon things. It's based upon the kingdom of God. And we praise God that it's based upon the kingdom of God. And it's amazing that there are places where the church is out of power and it's doing amazing things. And even there are other places that are very, very dark places in this world where the kingdom of God is having an influence and the light of Christ is shining brightly in places that are some of the dark places of this world. The kingdom of God is much more powerful and has much more sphere of influence than just a place. Jesus went into Jerusalem for purpose, but it wasn't to conquer a place. It was to start a new kingdom. The second part is this. Jesus came riding on a donkey, or the colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, why was he riding on a donkey? Because the people said, this is our king. The donkey was a royal thing. And Jesus is the king. But he wasn't a king that was going into Jerusalem to kind of overthrow the Roman Empire or the Jerusalem power of that time. He's a different kind of king. He's a different kind of king. You know, if you are royalty, you are treated differently than if you are not royalty. Is that not true? I remember when I was in engineering college back many, many years ago, we had a guy who told us he was a prince from Kuwait. And we didn't know if he was a prince of Kuwait or not. It was before the internet. I mean, there was actually a time when there wasn't internet, and we didn't know, but he told us he was a prince, and so we believed him. And he certainly acted like a prince. He certainly, you know, kind of carried himself as if he was a prince and if he was royalty, and he lived as if he was royalty. And we didn't know any better, so we just treated him like royalty. You are royalty. You are hugely royalty. Because Jesus, when he came into Jerusalem, he basically gave up his sonship and died and rose again so that all of us could be the children of the King of the universe. Think of what that means. You are not just some person living on the outskirts of the royal family. You are the royal family. We are the royal family. I've been doing some research lately about the distribution of wealth across nations and countries and that sort of thing. I know that sounds crazy, but I first became interested in this when I went to Denver Seminary and we studied the book of Amos. And the book of Amos talks about how when people are in power, they tend to game the system so that they get more power and influence. It's called the Pareto distribution. It was noticed by an Italian philosopher economist back in the 1920s, and he noticed that in almost every political power structure, no matter how the world is subdivided, no matter how it works, it always seems to be that most of the wealth is concentrated in very few at the high end of society, and not very much wealth is concentrated in the masses. And if you think about it, that is true in just about every nation, and apparently it's true in just every nation. It's just the way that the wealth is distributed. It just seems to be a natural part of the human existence. And when too much wealth gets distributed to the top end and there's not enough at the bottom end, then the bottom end overthrows the top end and they disrupt the whole entire system and it starts all over again. Because that's how earthly kingdoms work. Because everybody wants to be part of the royal family, but only a few can be part of the royal family. But in the kingdom of God, you are part of the royal family. And it's not some Pareto distribution where you only have a part of it. You are the beloved child of the king. And he loves you more than anything. And he gives you all the benefits of the royal family to you individually because you are marked as a child of God. And had it been just an earthly kingdom, that wouldn't be happen because it's in the earthly kingdom, it's just the royal family. And maybe some royal people or the highly powerful, but it's not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. And in heavenly kingdoms, there are no distribution. We are all children of the king. And the third is this. What were the people yelling? Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Hosanna comes from a Greek-Hebrew kind of combination of words that's Hoshiana, which means save us. Because the power structure in Jerusalem was oppressing the people. And they wanted to be saved. They wanted someone to come in and kind of overthrow everything and start anew so that they could be part of the royal family, so that they would have some sort of influence in their sphere of influence. And so they cried out, save us! Save us! But you see, in human kingdoms, they're managed by power and influence. You either go along with the power and influence, you're crushed underneath it. It is a system where they set up rules and regulations, and if you follow the rules and regulations, you're in, and if you don't follow the rules and regulations, you can be killed. It's a system based upon power. Huge power. And even in our United States today, it's based upon power. Who has the power? Who doesn't have the power? And he who has the power, you know, the golden rule, who has the gold makes the rules, right? But not in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom. Because the power structure of the kingdom isn't based upon power. It's based on love. It's based on grace. It's based on forgiveness. It's a totally different way of looking at life. And you and I are part of that kingdom. And the most powerful tool that we have for our kingdom is not the power and the money and the status in society. The power we have is grace and forgiveness and love and serving other people. And when God's church does that, when God's church knows that they've been forgiven, and so they forgive others. They know that they've been shown grace, and so they show grace to others. They know that they've been shown love, so they show love to others. The kingdom cannot be overthrown. Ever. And the world doesn't understand that. But you and I understand that. The kingdom of God remains. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Responding to God.